Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan. Smashville lives here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Adam Vingan here with you on Wednesday evening, joined by Nick Keiser. Hello, Keiser.
Hey, what's up?
Not the Predators. Because they're going down. They continue to go down. They lose last night 8-4. I did not misspeak. The Nashville Predators lost 8-4 to the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. In the second half of a back-to-back, the Predators lost on Monday 2-1 to the Philadelphia Flyers. The Predators have now dropped, if my math is correct, 9 of 11. They are 2-8-1 in their past 11 games. As we near the end of the season for the Predators, they were officially eliminated from postseason contention late last week. Keiser, correct me if I'm wrong, following the loss to the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. They were officially eliminated from playoff contention. As we enter play in the NHL on Wednesday, only four teams have been eliminated from playoff contention. The San Jose Sharks, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Seattle Kraken, and your Nashville Predators.
Yeah, it's tough.
And the Columbus Blue Jackets are a fabulous story. If you are a hockey fan, and even if you're not, thanks for listening, by the way. If you are a hockey fan, you know that the Columbus Blue Jackets endured unimaginable tragedy before the season when Johnny Gaudreau, their star player, and his brother were killed in a bike accident. And the Blue Jackets have also dealt with serious injuries to important players. The Columbus Blue Jackets, quite frankly, have no business being in the Eastern Conference playoff race. But to their credit, they're hanging in there. They're 2 points back of the Montreal Canadiens with a game in hand as play starts Wednesday in the battle for the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. All of that is to say, despite all of that, the Columbus Blue Jackets aren't good enough to score 8 goals on you. And it just speaks to where this Predator season has gone. Now, to be fair, if you look at the Predators lineup from last night, it could be generously described as a preseason lineup. I have seen preseason lineups that are more formidable than the lineup that the Predators put on the ice last night. We know that Roman Josi has been out. Colton Sissons is out. Jonathan Marchessault is out. There are players playing for the Nashville Predators right now who are probably not NHL players. I say that with all due respect to the likes of Kiefer Bellows and Mark Delgaiso and Andreas Englund. They are probably not regular NHL players. They are getting an opportunity at the NHL level, but it just shows you how disastrous this Predator season has been. UC Saros was not good last night. The entire team, obviously, was not good last night in the second half of a back-to-back. A shortened lineup with the injuries that they're dealing with. But, Keiser, it certainly feels like a death march. The Predators have 7 games left in the season. It feels like the season has gone on forever. It's been 75 games. I mean, where do they go from here?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, every time you get to this point in the season, and I think following this team all year long and for now 2 years, it's very frustrating to see even some players go through something like this. And it's never easy, right? But you talk to some of the newer faces in the room and all they can tell you is, I've not been here, but I can see the progress this team's trying to make. And even when you hear trying to make, it's not necessarily encouraging. And I talked to Michael Bunting last week before they went out on the road, Adam, and all he told me time and time again was, I can't speak on earlier this year. And that's true, but at the same time, it was worth having that chat about, well, do you see that actually coming to fruition, this plan? And he's like, yeah, I think it will end up happening. But it's all a matter of coming back and recognizing that you had a lot of issues. And right now, man, after watching UC Soros let in that many goals last night against Columbus, when, by the way, according to Natural Stat Trick, the expected goals for Columbus last night, Adam, was 3.92, which was insane to see. And I think they had three after the second period, maybe even less. But after the fact, it's just a terrible, terrible defensive effort. I could not believe some of the stuff they got behind them. And I get it, like you said, some of these guys are not NHL caliber defensemen and even some forwards as well. Obviously, some waiver claims are sprinkled throughout the lineup right now with some injuries. And quite frankly, with Colton Sissons being out, they're going to miss a really big presence up the middle currently. And that's a detriment to the lineup more than most fans realize. But how they move forward, Adam, with the remaining games left, they just have to make do with what they have and push through it. I mean, that's a very simple message, but that's quite frankly all that they have to do. They just got to go out and go play hockey because they get paid to go do it.
And I'll give credit to Predators fans. And Nick, you're at every home game. The crowds have been solid, despite the fact that this team is going nowhere this season. So I give you, Predators fans, a pat on the back for supporting your team, even in the worst of times. By the way, UC Soros last night, according to SportLogic, allowed 3.21 goals above expected. So one of his worst performances of the season last night in Columbus. But for you Predators fans out there who are looking for a silver lining, the Predators are not playing themselves out of a chance to grab the number one overall pick in the NHL draft. According to SportLogic, the Predators have a 12.3% chance of grabbing the number one overall pick in the NFL draft lottery. The San Jose Sharks have the best odds at 20.5%, followed by the Blackhawks at 17.9%, the Predators at 12.3%. I misspoke earlier, 12.3%. Boston at 8.9%, interestingly enough. So the Predators are putting themselves in position to have an opportunity to draft at or near the top of the draft for the first time in a long time.
Since Seth Jones, I want to say.
Right? 2013, he was the fourth overall selection. But how many top three picks have the Predators had in franchise history?
Do you know the answer?
Only David Legwand, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it is David Legwand, yeah.
If you're including top five, then you can throw Seth Jones in there as well.
Right.
So the Predators have not been in this position very often, and that's a good thing because the Predators have been competitive. I mean, they made the postseason every year between 2015 and 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 2022.
Yeah,
every season, right? I do see this is what people, I get into arguments. I still get into arguments.
Let's not.
With Predators fans. I'm just like, this is our show, so I'm just going to say it.
Hey, go ahead.
I always get into arguments with the Predators fans about this. The qualifying round series against Arizona is considered a postseason series by the NHL.
Thank you.
Therefore, I consider it a postseason series. Although they did not make the 16-team playoff.
Sure.
They were involved in a postseason series.
Yeah.
So the NHL does count that in their postseason streak. So I do as well.
Okay.
So the Predators made the postseason every year from 2015 to 2022. They're going to miss the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. It's been a minute since the Predators have had that sort of situation. So the, again, silver lining in all of this is that the Predators have an opportunity to draft James Hagans or Michael Misa.
Matthew Schaefer,
a player who can hopefully be the face of the franchise in the coming years. So the Predators are not playing themselves out of the running for those picks because they've lost 9 of their past 11 games. So that's good. We're looking for optimism here. It's harder and harder to find optimism here. But keep this in mind as well. The Predators have a points percentage this season of 413. That is the second worst points percentage in a season in franchise history. The only team in franchise history with a worst points percentage was the first team, the inaugural 1998-1999 team. That's bad. That's really bad. So we're going to continue this conversation over the next couple of weeks because the Predators season is nearing its conclusion. They have 7 games left in the regular season. The next one, by the way, is tomorrow on the road against the Dallas Stars. A 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5/106.3 The Game. But after those 7 games are over, the Predators are going to have some really tough conversations. And we at DVD had a conversation about those tough conversations with Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet last week. We will replay that interview for you coming up next. Nick Kieser, Adam Bingham, this is Preds Insiders 102.5/106.3 The Game. Preds Insiders 102.5/106.3 The Game. Adam Bingham, Nick Kieser here with you on a Wednesday evening. Predators return to action tomorrow against the Dallas Stars on the road. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here, of course, on 102.5/106.3 The Game. Last week on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, we spoke to Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider. We talk to him every week. It's one of my favorite discussions of the week on our program. And a lot of the conversation we had centered around what the Predators could do with Predators coach Andrew Brunette. This was our conversation on DVD with Elliot Freeman. Your colleague, Pierre LeBrun, wrote at The Athletic today. He had a story about coaching storylines to keep an eye on. He wrote about Andrew Brunette that his expectation, or that the expectation, is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season for the Predators. Is that your expectation as well?
The only reason I would hesitate. Look, I have no reason to believe differently. Let me just say that. I have no reason to believe differently at this time, Adam. But the one thing that we have seen the Predators do before is sit and think, right? And say, okay, let's sit down, think about where we are, think about where we're going, think about what our lineup is going to look like, and make our decisions. Like, the Predators are a team that hasn't always acted quickly. They've waited before, they've pondered, they've considered things, and then make a decision. So the only way I see it being different, or one way I could see it being different, is if everybody sits down at the end of the season, thinks about it, and says, this isn't going to work. That's the only way I see it being different. You guys are there. What do you think?
Well, I think, would we all agree that how they've played has improved slightly, and they're playing without Roman Josi, which is a huge cog in what they're doing, but it still doesn't look great. It doesn't look dramatically better. And they've lost a lot of games in the same fashion. Last night would be one where there are lapses within a game that cost them in a game that otherwise they had a chance to win. And, of course, they have no margin for error because they don't score. They're among the lowest scoring teams in the league, which continues to be a mystery. So it seems a little more up in the air. That it seems a little less, let's just put it this way, it seems a little less clear cut to, I think, a lot of the fan base than it would to LeBron and that specific report.
I would think this too, Willie. Like, let's just say for argument's sake that Pierre does his research, which he does. I don't think he's writing this for no reason. Even if you're thinking of making a coaching change, I don't know that if you're Nashville, you're sending those signals. Especially Barry, he's a lifelong coach. He understands the stresses of the position. He thinks like a coach still in a lot of ways. I don't think he'd tip his hand while games are still being played, too.
I think that's fair. And I think that's probably the best thing that Andrew Burnett has going for him is that, A, Barry Trotz hand-picked him, and B, Barry Trotz remembers being a coach that benefited from the patience that David Poyle and the organization showed in him in the early years.
Yes. So, yes, I agree with that. I agree with all that. I think it's interesting. I haven't seen Pierre's article yet. I was not an early riser today. I had a late flight home last night. I haven't seen Pierre's article yet, and I'll go through it. But it's not like Pierre to write that kind of stuff uninformed. I will say that.
I will read to you, Elliot, the part that we're referencing.
And it's a small snippet,
it's,
right?
It's a small snippet of a larger article. LeBron wrote, quote, Burnett has two more years left after this season, plus an option year. My understanding, LeBron's understanding, of the situation with the Nashville Predators that is that if GM Barry Trotz had wanted to make a change, it would have already happened. He believes in Brunette and thinks the adversity this season will serve him well. The expectation is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season.
You see, I think all of that is correct, Adam. Like I said, though, like the one thing is, like Barry's talked about it on your station before, and I've heard this too, that before the deadline, he sat down with everyone and said, is everybody here still believe in this? Does everybody here still want to be here? And he was told yes, and, you know, no one got traded. Even O'Reilly, and teams did take their runs at O'Reilly, at the end of the day, they obviously hung on to him. However, I still think at the end of the season, when they do their year-end reviews and they do their exit meetings, I'm still curious to see what comes out of that, because you're not running it back the same way. You're making changes, you're doing things differently, maybe you're playing differently. And one of the things I've gotten used to over the years, like Andrew Burnett won a President's Trophy in Florida and they waited like a while after they got knocked out in the playoffs to announce that they were changing coaches. And I remember at the time I criticized that on our podcast, and Bill Zito, the GM of the Panthers, who I think is a really good GM, he took issue with that with me. He said that was not fair criticism. And I said, you have to make a decision quicker than that. And he said, no, I don't. My responsibility is to my team, and I had to make a thorough decision, and it was a hard one. It wasn't an easy one, but I thought it was the right one for the team. And I think about that kind of stuff a lot, guys, because, like, what happens if Trotz sits down at the end of the season and he has meetings and he learns some things, or people's minds have changed, or whatever happens, and they get to a position where they say, you know what? It's a couple weeks after the season, but this is not the same picture we have now. And I've always remembered that conversation with Zito, and that's why I always hedge my bets.
And that is what Barry Trotz did, Elliot, with John Hines. John Hines wasn't fired until the end of May of the 2023 of 2023. So I
was referring to, Adam, but I couldn't remember who it was. I knew there was a guy they waited on, but I couldn't remember. Yeah.
Yes. So Burnett's been on both sides of the of the ledger there. And once it worked in his favor, and once it didn't.
And to your point, Elliot, when the Predators made that decision, I had the same reaction you did. I was like, if they weren't going to bring back John Hines, why wait until the end of May? I had that same reaction initially.
Right, but as it turned out, it was because Brunet was still coaching with the Devils, and once they were eliminated, that made him more eligible. So there was a timetable involved. But Elliot is really interesting because I think at the center of this is what I just threw out there is Barry Trotz knows that patience was big in his development as a coach, where he was the coach of the expansion Predators, and most people, David Poile loves telling the story. How many people said, hey, how long is it going to be before you fire your first coach, right? Because if you look through the years, those teams didn't win throughout the league, and it was just a matter of time before they tried something else. But Barry Trotz grew right out of that, and we know the history there. But at the same time, this is the first time I think Andrew Brunette has gone through a struggle as a head coach, right? You documented at Florida and then his first year here. Everything just fell into line. They had great success. And so this is where I think Barry Trotz is watching. How do you handle when things don't go well?
Exactly. And he's talked about that. And I think that's a good argument. Like, I cannot argue with that argument. And the one thing I really think is, I think this has been a really hard year. Like, obviously, for the fans, it's been a really hard year.
Yeah, it's the hardest. I don't think there's any question.
Sometimes I think you really need to decompress before you can't make decisions when you're mad. And I think the other thing, too, Trotz talked to all his players. Sometimes it's hard to talk to all your players when you're in season. Like, that's what someone said to me. Like, he wonders, too, is, if everybody just, at the end of the year, everybody decompresses and you think for a little bit, does anybody's mind change? And I think that's another thing we're going to watch out here for, too.
I want to follow up on one that Adam asked you about, Joel Quenneville, because you brought up something interesting. We're getting further removed time-wise. Like, you could say he's paid a significant timeout, if you will, because of the aftermath of why he was let go by the Panthers, the whole issue that happened in 2010 with the Blackhawks, and there's still stuff going on for that lawsuit-wise, I understand. But now that Bowman is back in, what percentage of teams do you think would be open to hiring Quenneville? Like, if there's 10 teams, because it doesn't apply to some teams, right? They're happy with their coach. But let's say there's 10 teams that might have an opening. How many of the 10 do you think would be open for Quenneville because of his unique credentials?
You know what? Honestly, I would hesitate to even wager a guess on that, really. I think that, Quenneville's been reinstated. Bowman is back. And, for some people, I think that's enough. And for others, it isn't. And
right.
I think you have to... I would really hesitate to place a percentage on it because I think it would be a guess, and I don't think this is the thing that's smart to guess on. But I think he wants to coach. I think he's very interested in coaching, and I think it really depends on the individual organization. How do they feel?
And Elliot, hasn't he
with him go?
And hasn't he gone through a process to learn from the mistake? Didn't the league sort of have him go through that behind the scenes? I couldn't tell you the details. I feel like I've read about that, though.
I think there was something, but I think, like, Bowman, what he did was he did some stuff on his own with Sheldon Kennedy, who's a significant figure up here. And I know that Sheldon Kennedy advocated very strongly on behalf of Bowman. So I think it also depends on, who else advocates for you in that way.
Elliot, one thing I've been wondering about Joel Quenneville. So, as you mentioned, Stan Bowman, who was the architect of those Blackhawks teams, is now the GM of the Edmonton Oilers. And being the GM of the Edmonton Oilers is a big job. That is an important job. But yep. Stan Bowman is not as much of a front-facing entity than a coach. A coach is standing on the bench 82 games a year. A coach is having news conferences multiple times a day on game days versus Stan Bowman, who can recede into the background if he wants to. I'm just wondering if that element plays into it, because if a team hires Quenneville, he's going to be on the bench 82 games. He's going to be the camera's going to be on him every game. He's going to answer questions before games, after games, during practices. I'm wondering if that element plays into this decision as well.
I think it's a great question, Adam, because yes, I think there's something to that. Like, the one thing though is, like, whenever Bowman does media, and as Willie mentioned, there's another lawsuit coming up now, and you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Like, I'm not going to be weighing in on that at all, in the sense that I don't really know what where that's going to go legally. But it's not like every time Bowman speaks, he gets asked about it, and so it doesn't come up all the time. I don't know if it would be any different for Quenneville. I mean, obviously, if a team hired him, he would have to answer those questions at the beginning, the initial press conference. The team and would obviously have to be very comfortable with what Quenneville's done and feel that he's learned what he needed to learn. I don't know. It's a really good question, Adam, but seeing Bowman and how he does his media, it doesn't come up every time. So I don't know if it would be any different for a head coach. Like, at the beginning, certainly it would be a major topic, and those would be very fair questions to ask, but I don't know if it would stay that way.
I think of it more as sort of a public relations thing, Elliot. Less so about him being asked about it, but just Joel Quenneville being on a bench every game. And that's sort of the PR aspect of it, and how that would reflect on the team versus him being asked about it regularly.
That is absolutely, like, I absolutely do believe that if that was not an issue for teams, he would have been hired already, right? I do think that that's a thing, and everybody has to decide how comfortable they are with that. Like, there's no question he can coach. He's a great coach, and I look at a lot of situations here, and I think that he could fix a lot of the situations. There's no question about that in my mind. What you talk about is very real, and it's very true, and every organization has to decide that for themselves.
That was Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, on DVD with us last week. Nick and I will react to what Elliot had to say. Coming up next, Adam Ving and Nick Kieser. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Ving and Nick Kieser. Not going to lie, I almost said D-Mace, Ving and Donna.
That's okay.
We were just listening to a clip from D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. I, of course, am the Vingan and D-Mace, Vingan, and
Donick. Except I'm not a Hall of Fame wide receiver, so. Or wannabe, I guess. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he should be.
He should be. He is going to be in the Tennessee football. Not the Tennessee football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
There we go. Words are hard.
Words are hard, especially for someone whose job it is to say words into a microphone.
Yeah, you have
Nevertheless, speaking of DVD, that was our conversation with Elliot Freeman last Friday. We were at First Horizon Park for Sounds opening day. It was a beautiful day for baseball.
Well, good for you.
And a beautiful day to talk to Elliot Freeman. It's always a beautiful day to talk to Elliot Freeman. So, an interesting conversation about Andrew Brunette. And in that interview, I brought up a story that Pierre LeBrun wrote at The Athletic about the state of coaches around the league. It was after the Flyers fired John Tortorella last Thursday. And this is what Pierre LeBrun wrote about Andrew Brunette. Quote, Brunette has two more years left after this season, plus an option year. My understanding of the situation with the Nashville Predators is that if GM Barry Trotz had wanted to make a change, it would have happened already. He believes in Brunette and thinks the adversity this season will serve him well. The expectation is that Brunette will be back behind the bench next season. And Nick, I said this morning on D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick. I do not believe there is a justifiable case that the Predators can make to bring back Andrew Brunette next season. I will repeat what I've said many times on this topic. I think Andrew Brunette is a good coach. I do not think he is the right coach for this team. And even if he was, when this season has been as bad as it's been, the Predators have a lot of excellent salespeople who work for them. Great salespeople. It would take a Herculean effort to sell to Predators fans that keeping status quo is the right thing to do after this season. Now, there are other things the Predators could do. It doesn't mean, you know, firing Andrew Brunette is not the only thing they can do, but it's the easiest thing they can do in the sense that all they have to do is say, Andrew, thank you for your time. We're moving in a different direction. It's harder to trade players. The old saying is you can't fire the players, so sometimes you just have to fire the coach. And as I said before the break, before the first break, I should say, that this team, from a points percentage standpoint, is the second worst team in franchise history, ahead of only the inaugural team, which was supposed to be bad because it was an expansion year for the Nashville Predators. I don't know how you can have that type of season after these expectations were set and not do something about it. Keep in mind, the Predators were the first team in NHL history. I kid you not. The first team in NHL history to acquire two 40-goal scorers in the same offseason. And I don't mean they've scored 40 goals in their career one time. The previous season, Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. So the Predators are the only team in NHL history to acquire two players who scored 40 goals the previous season. And this season, this team could barely score with all of that firepower. So I just don't see a way that the Predators can justify to their fans that keeping this coach is best for business. The Predators have missed the playoffs two of the past three seasons. It's a rare stretch of ineptitude that we haven't seen around here in more than 10 years since Barry Trotz was coaching this team. But I just don't think they can do it. And Nick, here's the question that I have for you as someone who is around the team almost every day. I always think back to the Winter Classic in 2020. I was still on the beat at that time. The Predators lose to the Dallas Stars. They had been stumbling for a little while, but it felt like that loss to the Stars at the Cotton Bowl was rock bottom. And I walk into the dressing room at the Cotton Bowl. I talk to Roman Josi. I talk to Pecorine. I talk to Macias Ekholm. I talk to Austin Watson, a lot of veterans. And I walked out of that room, and my gut said to me, Peter Laviolette is going to get fired. I don't know when it's going to happen, but just the vibe I got. When you are around a team every day, you just pick up those vibes. And 5 days later, Peter Laviolette was fired. From afar, Nick, I don't get the sense that this team has quit on its coach. But being in the dressing room every day, watching this team as closely as you do, what is the vibe you get about the players and their feelings on Andrew Brunette?
I mean, that's a great question. And I think in listening to his press conferences and listening to Barry Trotz, who comes on this station with Jared every single week, I do have a belief that he will be back next season. And I referred to my conversation with Michael Bunting earlier in the program, and hearing what he had to say about how there's a vision in place for this team and he believes in it, and then also talking with the leaders after losses, or even just kind of listening to the types of moods that I'm kind of getting a feel of across the room. I don't think there's a sense of hostility. I mean, there probably wouldn't be anyway if even the team was doing well and they didn't want to bring their coach back, or if it was on the cusp of, hey, maybe we should make a change because we're going to miss the playoffs again. Because quite frankly, I think Brunette was kind of on thin ice anyway, just in terms of production and everything in between. Just, it just wasn't boding well with anybody else in talking about this coaching staff, because it's kind of been weird lately. But with me, Adam, I don't get the feeling he'll be gone. And if he is, quite frankly, I can see it happening. You know, I mean, if they called him in the office and they said, we appreciate you, just like you said, thank you for your time, I think he would totally understand that. And he is a very easygoing guy, good personality. He's funny. He's pretty laid back. But when I see him get serious about this team, it's pretty concerning that he has talked about how there are guys on this team that kind of have to get their act together. One thing that stood out to me in my question to him a few games ago afterwards, he referred to the professionalism of his team, which was very intriguing to me.
Yes.
And not only that, but then hearing how earlier in the season, Steven Stamkos goes, I could comment on a few things in here.
I remember that as well.
Goodness gracious. That threw me for a loop driving home thinking about that every night. I'm like, what is going on in this locker room? There is surely something going on that we do not know about. And there always is with some teams, right? There always is some thought to that. And Adam, I know you're not asking me this part of it, but if there is to be some kind of change this offseason, I have not heard anybody talk about this. And it goes back to one thing I heard very oddly in a question asked about Adam Willsby, where it was, hey, the production with him, what have you noticed out of him lately? Just kind of paraphrase. Well, in that answer, he goes, you know, I was sitting upstairs during training camp, and I was sitting next to Joel Quenneville. And Joel was talking to me about how he reminded me of an NHL player, and I thought he'd stick out. And he stood out to Joel like a sore thumb. Great. That's at training camp. I didn't know he was there. We didn't find out about that. I think it was a comment he made in December, maybe early January, but I want to say it's December. Adam, how realistic or how dumb am I in saying if they move off of a coach, I mean, if they moved off of Brunette specifically, Quenneville could be the guy, but if they do make an assistant coaching change, what better way to ease Joel Quenneville back into the NHL, or at least give him some lesser of a role in making him an associate head coach? I'm just saying, like, if you want to shake up this team, if you want to bring something that this team needs, could Joel do that for this team? Bring some maturity, give him some structure. I think Brunette is a good guy with specialty players. Look at his time in New Jersey that one year. Look at his time in Florida. It's interesting to me. I mean, could you not see something like that happen possibly? I don't know. It just begs the question to me that we've not asked yet.
I can't see Joel Quenneville returning to the NHL in any capacity other than being a head coach. But Quenneville, who played a big part in the conversation we had last week with Elliot Freeman, I find it to be fascinating. Because I do think that if the Predators make a coaching change, they need a veteran coach. John Tortorella was just fired. I'm not sure if he's a fit with the Predators. But Joel Quenneville has been out of the league now for 3 or 4 years. You could certainly argue whether he's paid his debt to society, so to speak, after the role he played in the Chicago Blackhawks sexual assault scandal and cover up, if I'm remembering all of the details correctly.
Pretty much, yeah. Kyle Beach.
Right. The question I had for Elliot, which we played there, was will a team be willing to take the inevitable PR hit that comes with hiring Joel Quenneville? At first, it's going to be loud and it's going to be everywhere. How dare this team hire this man? But the question is, will he get a second chance? I think he will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. If the Predators make a coaching change, I would think about Joel Quenneville.
I would too.
I wouldn't say he's absolutely my number one candidate, but I would think about it. But this is something that we are going to continue to monitor as the regular season comes to a close. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, a first round pick of the Predators could soon make his NHL debut. We will discuss that coming up next. Adam Bingham with Nick Kieser. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Penalty Box Radio is coming up right after us on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, of course. That's where you are. That's why you're here. More hockey talk. Adam Mingan with Nick Kieser. The Predators return to action tomorrow against the Dallas Stars on the road. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. Could we see Matthew Wood in this game? Who's to say? But the Predators signed Matthew Wood to his entry-level contract the other day. Matthew Wood, a first-round pick of the Nashville Predators in 2023.
Yes,
15th overall pick in the 2023 draft, Matthew Wood. Barry Trotz was on with Jared Stillman yesterday and said that Matthew Wood is going to be around the team. He's going to join him on the road trip and expects to see him in some games before the regular season ends. Matthew Wood, according to The Athletic, according to Scott Wheeler of The Athletic back in February, ranked the top 100 drafted NHL prospects. Matthew Wood clocked in at number 68. And Scott Wheeler wrote in part, quote, Wood is a rangy, multidimensional shooter, and goal-scoring forward who has silky hands for a 6'4" player. He's got superb control on the toe of his blade, out wide, and the heel in tight to his feet. A marksman shot inside the offensive zone, and a sixth sense for arriving around the net slash slot at the right time. He protects the puck really well out wide to his body, does a good job holding on to pucks for that extra second required to walk into his spots without needing bursts of speed to get there, and can also slip and navigate pucks through traffic against reaching sticks. I've seen him support play well defensively off the puck. So Matthew Wood, you hope to be a part of the Predators' future. If I recall correctly, Nick Kieser, for Minnesota, he was playing right wing. So we'll see where he would slot in for the Nashville Predators. But your thoughts on Matthew Wood as he begins his NHL career?
Yeah, he was part of the draft and probably the only draft that I might go to. Who knows where my career takes me, Adam. But I've heard from multiple people that the draft is a little overrated, but that's okay. But I did enjoy it.
I will tell you this. As someone who's been to many NHL drafts,
oh boy,
it's one of my least favorite things to do.
The awards were okay, too, but I didn't love it either. So.
Unless you are someone who devotes their time to studying these prospects, like Scott Wheeler or Corey Promen over The Athletic, there are plenty of people who do a very good job.
A friend of mine, Steven Ellis, who you might hear from this summer on my podcast, possibly.
Yes.
But look.
If you're not one of those people,
uh-huh.
I have a hard time getting amped up for the draft.
That's okay. That's fine.
So you are not alone in thinking that the draft is meh.
Yeah. But it was fun to be there. So anyway, yeah, Matthew Wood, after seeing him get drafted, I thought that was a great selection by the Predators. They knew that he could be a multifaceted guy in the top six, ideally one day. So we could see that happen, Adam. He is a pretty big guy, and I think he'll be able to fit right into Nashville's system regardless of who the coach is. I think that the architecture of the team right now fits a guy like that really well. But a little bit of insight on him possibly joining the team that I can share is that obviously the Predators announced that he'll be joining them in the coming days is what their first announcement was. But from what I've kind of understood is that it's more of the immigration aspect of, hey, finishing up college, he signed the ELC, let's get all this paperwork finalized. So will that be in time for tomorrow night's game in Dallas? I think the feeling is that yes, and Barry Trotz talked about that like you mentioned. I could totally envision him making his NHL debut. The Predators need another forward right now. They've been going 11-7 the last two games, and Andrew Burnett said they're going to be doing that for the foreseeable future. But Matthew Wood, I think in college, he had a few highlight reel goals that I liked, and there are a lot of power forward moves by him where he drives the net. He'll grab rebounds. I'd like to see him shoot the puck a little bit more, probably, like you want to say about most prospects. But in his case, he's got a really good shot, and he's got a great finishing aspect to it as well. So when you do see him make his debut, he should be number 52. What a great number for a rookie, Matt Irwin-esque. But anyway, I think when he hops right in. I'm not sure what line he would play on, Adam. Probably second or third line, a little bit here and there. He might play with Michael McCarron a little bit, because why not? You got Zach LaRue down there as well, so that could be a fun little bit of a physical line there. But, yeah, I think with him joining the fold, it makes a whole lot of sense. But what I do know is that I don't know if he's going to debut, but like I said, the feeling is that he probably will, Adam. So, yeah, that's another exciting aspect. I know that we've been doom and gloom since the start of the show today a little bit, but, yeah, that is one positive aspect for the Nashville Predators, is their top pick from 2023 joining. And you can't say very many first-round draft selections have gone this quickly other than maybe a Scott Hartnell or David Leguant joining the team. So that is a kind of a cool little update.
And it's something that can give Predators fans reason to be invested in the remaining games of the regular season, because Matthew Wood is expected to be part of the next generation for the Nashville Predators. So keep your expectations in line. If Matthew Wood doesn't score a hat trick in his first game, don't freak out. He's not Austin Matthews, who I believe scored 4 goals in his NHL debut.
Yes, he did.
But it's important for these young players to get an opportunity. And one thing we know, looking to the future can be enticing. You can find hope in that. So being able to see Matthew Wood get some NHL games near the end of the regular season gives Predators fans something to watch, something to monitor in this slog of a final stretch for the Predators as their season nears an end.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but the one thing that is holding up Matthew Wood, just for certain that I can say, it is a little bit of that visa that's holding him up, Adam. So we'll see if he gets to debut. But if not, he will more than likely debut on Sunday, because they've got a really good contest, and Alexander Carrier come back into town, Montreal. They're fighting for a playoff spot here. I'm sure you're going to pull up what the standings are currently, possibly. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun game for him to debut in. So, but, yeah, that's what I got on Matthew Wood, Adam.
The Predators return home for 2 games on Sunday and Tuesday. The aforementioned game against the Montreal Canadiens on Sunday. A home date against the New York Islanders on Tuesday, April 8th. But before those 2 games, the Nashville Predators conclude their road trip on Thursday against the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, the Predators have 7 games remaining in the regular season, 3 on the road, 4 at home. That'll do it for us tonight on Preds Insiders. Penalty Box Radio is coming up next. For Nick Kieser, I'm Adam Vingan. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.